If you have your Bibles, open them tonight to Matthew chapter 25. I'm mindful of the hour, and I'll keep this short. I just have a couple of ideas for you. Matthew chapter 25. I do bring greetings to you from the faculty, staff, and great student body at Pensacola Christian College. I told you this morning that my wife and I, in the summertime, have the privilege to travel. During the school year, we're very busy with all that goes on. But during the summertime, we like to travel. And you might think this is weird, because usually when people travel, they go to places like amusement parks or to the nation's capital, and they see landmarks and these kind of things. What we do is we take weekends and we visit churches that we've heard about. Honestly, we've visited some of the great churches of America. We've heard about Emmanuel over the years, and I'm just being real honest with you. People are saying, you got to see what's going on in Newington. And you need to see how the Lord is using Pastor Schmidt and how the Lord is growing this church and what he's doing there. And so we came up today, as Pastor said, with no ulterior motive but to worship with you today and to see what God's doing here. And we've been thoroughly blessed to worship with you. It was our distinct privilege to take the Lord's Supper with you tonight, to observe the ordinances that the Lord gave us is a meaningful thing. And so we're proud to be here. We're proud to share. We're proud to see you and finally get to meet you because we've heard so much about you. We're part, as Pastor said, of a very large ministry. Pensacola Christian College is growing. I'm not here to tell you about the college. Next week, just so happens, a Proclaim Ministry team will be here and they'll tell you a little bit more about the college. But we're real excited about what the Lord's doing there. He's given us our largest enrollment ever in the last 2 years in a row. We're building a new residence hall there that'll take 2 years to build. We have a large Christian school ourselves, has over 2,200 students, kindergarten through 12th grade. And then we're home of Abeka Books. Some of you have heard about that, the largest Christian publisher of textbooks and materials for schools and homeschools. We have radio stations and TV stations around the nation. There's just many things that the Lord's doing from the beautiful Gulf Coast in Northwest Florida. But I got to tell you, it hasn't always been this way. I mean, it hasn't always been something of substantive of size. It hasn't always been something great. In fact, over 60 years ago, the school started with just 35 students. Dr. and Mrs. Horton, a young couple at that time, felt the call to come to Pensacola and to start a small Christian school. And they were faithful in what God called them to do. And from 35 students that first year to, well, this last year we had over 7,000 on campus. And this summer we'll have over 11,000 in our camps throughout the summer weeks. And hundreds of thousands, and in fact millions, that use our textbooks. From that very humble beginning came something great, something that only God could have done.
Amen.
And that's what I want to encourage you about tonight. God's doing something great here at Emmanuel. Now, I'm not saying someday it's going to be something of great size and national significance, although it may be in God's plan to be so. But whatever it is that God does here, it will only be a God-sized thing. Now listen to this. It will only be a God-sized thing if you're in the right posture toward him. So here's my quick encouragement for you tonight. Realize that God's got something special for you. He wants to do something that only he can do in you personally and in this church and in this Christian school. But let's be sure that we're doing our part as a steward of what he's given us here. Heavenly Father, you know the time that we have. You know the essence of what it is that you've laid on our hearts to share. I pray now that we'd make wise use of it. Point us in the direction you would have us to go. And may we see you in all that we do tonight. In your name, amen. In Matthew 25, we see one of two companion parables. You know about this in Luke 19 and in Matthew 25. Jesus gives these two parables. We call them the parables of the talents and the pounds. In Luke 19, which is the predecessor to this, he just got done seeing Zacchaeus. And while he's there in Jericho, he tells the story about a nobleman who goes away, and he gives, before he goes away, he gives something of value. They called it a pound. It was a denomination of money. He gives this pound to each of 10 servants. And he says, I'm going away. Take care of this valuable thing that I have. And when I come back, I'll expect you to give an account of it. In Matthew 25 here, a companion parable, a nobleman has three servants. And we'll pick up the reading in Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling unto a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, made them another 5 talents. Likewise, received 2, also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants come and reckoneth with them. Well, you're familiar with the parable. The Lord comes back. This nobleman comes back. He had given something of value to each of these three servants. And he says, now I expect an accounting. I'd like to see what it is you've done with this thing of value that I've given you. It's very interesting to see in verses 21 and 23, we read the same account, almost word for word, in those two verses. In verse 21 and 23, he says some kind words to two servants. Two servants, the one who had 5 talents and doubled it, the one who had 2 talents and doubled it. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So we see two people that are commended for increasing the value of what the Lord gave them. Catch this principle right off the bat. When the Lord gives you something of value, when the Lord gives you something that he entrusts to you personally, he expects you to increase the value of it. He expects you to improve it. These two servants were faithful, the Bible says. They increased the value and improved what the Lord gave them, and they were commended by the nobleman. Then we have this third guy. Very quickly, you remember the story. He digged in the earth. He buried it. When the nobleman came back, he said, I was afraid. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I took it. I digged in the earth. Here's what you gave me. And he gives it back. And we read quite a different response. So let's back up and talk about this for just a minute. The Lord's given each one of us something of value. We sing the song, Count Your Blessings. We enumerate often those things that we're thankful for. But often it ends with a thankfulness and not with an action. My quick encouragement for you tonight is not only be thankful, a heart of gratitude is essential, by the way. Not only be thankful, but act in gratitude to the Lord by increasing the value of what he's given you. He's given each one of us some things that nobody else has. He's given each one of us a physical body, time on this earth, a family, talents, abilities, skills, knowledge. He's given us a church in this assemblage. He's given us a workplace. Those of us who know him, he's given us salvation. All gifts that only God can give. And these things are valuable to us, aren't they? They're irreplaceable. The time we spent today can never be gained back. It was valuable time. And in like manner, the family that we have is only our family. It's most valuable to us. These things of value, God says, demand and require your attention such that your contribution to them increases the value and improves them. You're already seeing all the way to the end of this quick challenge, and that is when you've got something of value like Emmanuel, when you've got something of value like a family, like dear children that God's entrusted to you, it's our duty to increase and improve. Agreed? And so it's not just about being thankful, although that's important. It's about increasing and improving these things so that God has the ability to make more of it. You see, these two guys, two servants, were given this thing of value. We called it a talent. And they went and did something with it. They gave it to the bank. They traded with it. They did something with it that increased the value of it. It took effort on their part, conscious effort. And when the nobleman came back, they were able to see that because of their effort, there was improved value. How did they do that? Two quick things, and we'll be done. The first way to improve and increase the value of a thing, faithfulness. Be faithful. In Matthew 25, the scripture records for us that God gave every person according to his ability. He had three servants. He knew his three servants. To one he gave five, to another two, and another one according to their ability. He had measured their ability. He knew which ones would have the ability to increase the value of the thing. And so he gave each one according to that ability. God knows your ability. He knows how much you can handle. He knows both the hardships and the successes that you can handle. Not everybody can handle either or both. God knows just what you can handle. And he'll give you according to your ability. He'll also give you those things that are universal, time, relationships. And with each, he expects you to increase the value of it. The Bible says in the record of this chapter that when the nobleman gave respect to these two individuals, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What was it that made them successful? Faithfulness. Now, what do we mean by faithfulness? Often, don't we use that word faithfulness as a word that means a dependable, reliable? I can count on you. We say, you're faithful. And there's a certain component to that. But the biblical meaning of the word faithful is constantly and consistently taking God and his word at face value and obeying it. Every day, then, doing what God tells you to do through his word and through his direct leading, doing what he calls you to do today. The most dependable, the most reliable individuals are those people that follow God on a daily basis. The servant who increases the value most successfully of that which God has given him is that kind of servant who every day follows the Lord's leading. You say, all right, Shoemaker, you don't know who we are. You've just met us. What does this have to do with us? Friends, as fellow Christians, God's given us each one something of value, many things of value. He calls us to be faithful in it. How's your relationship today with God? How's your relationship with your family? What have you done to contribute today to the increase in the value of that relationship, both in time and effort spent? Parents, how about education? Pastor talked about Christian education. He's a proponent of it. The greatest thing of value my wife and I have is our three children. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Wouldn't it be a shame If that thing of value, I hate to say a thing, that dear cherished soul that the Lord has given us would be lost, or they would head in a wrong direction because they fell under the education of those which would tear down Scripture and all that we as Christians stand for. You know why Pastor is so strongly in favor of Christian education? Because he knows, parents, the value of investing in our children through Christian education. It would be the greatest loss, don't you agree, if our children turn their back on the Bible and on God. It is not a chance worth taking. It is not a risk worth taking. And so we set our priorities accordingly. It's a thing of value. So be faithful. Be faithful doing today what you know you ought to do, following God and taking Him at His word. The second, you might find this odd, but the second characteristic, fearlessness. Faithfulness, first of all, fearlessness, second. In chapter 25, verse 25, we have the record of this guy who took the talent and stuck it in the earth. He was afraid. And listen to what he said. Verse 25, I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, here's what is thine. And he gives it back. This is so compelling to me. It's compelling because it's not like this guy lost the talent. He still had the thing God gave him. God gave him this thing of value, a talent, or the nobleman did. And when the servant gave it back, he still had the same talent. But why was the nobleman so upset at him? In fact, he was upset. If you read the later verses, he said, take that talent from him, give it to this other guy, cast this guy out. In fact, the scripture uses words where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I mean, it's pretty dire. Why was the nobleman so upset? Because this guy just maintained what was given to him, and that's all. It's not like he lost it. It's not like he spent it on himself. It's not like he even made bad investments. What he did, he just maintained what the nobleman had given him. And he did so, listen, he did so out of fear. He was afraid. Fear is the great enemy of faith. Fear is that which keeps you back from stepping out on what God has for you. Fear is that thing that kept this servant from taking a risk and answering a call and fulfilling a destiny. What's it take to enter into the good graces of the nobleman, to hear well done? Two things: faithfulness, fearlessness. Don't be afraid to step out when God tells you to step out. You might think this is self-serving, but I'm not promoting Pensacola Christian College and saying this. I am promoting whatever God has for you. Young people in this room, if God calls you somewhere to go to college, if God calls you somewhere in preparation for a life of service to Him, it may sound a little risky to leave home. It may sound like a little bit uncomfortable to do something that you don't know about. Don't be afraid. God calls you to it, He'll make it happen. Don't let fear hold you back from a great destiny. God has big things for you in the future, bigger than you could ever imagine. These servants, they got compliments, but they also got greater responsibility and reward as a result of it. If you read the account here, he said, because you've been faithful in these things, I'll make you ruler over many. And the ability to grow and to become something bigger than they ever imagined came because they were faithful and because they were fearless. We haven't had much time together tonight, but you get the gist of what we wanted to say. Here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, God wants to do something great. He is doing something great. But it's going to take certain characteristics. It's going to take certain posture from us toward God to allow him to make it happen. It's going to take faithfulness, doing every day what we know God wants us to do. You've got an outreach this week. Take part in that. You've got a number of service opportunities and people in this community to reach. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, something we all know to do today, take God at his word and reach out and allow God to give the increase. There's great things ahead of us, but we've got to be faithful. And then don't let your inhibitions, don't let your inadequacies, don't let your fear of the unknown, don't let risks hold you back from stepping out on faith. One of these days, you personally and this church will have to step out on faith in fulfillment of the Great Commission and in what God's calling this place to do, and it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable, and you're going to say, Lord, if it's going to happen, only you can do it. And that's a great place to be. Because when it happens, it'll always be bigger than you ever imagined and better because it's a God-sized thing. I work in a ministry where we never dreamed that the Lord would do what he's doing now in Northwest Florida. And we give him all the glory for it every day. And I share with you the prayer for this church and for your personal life that he would do the same for you. It's an amazing place to be and an amazing ride to see, an exhilarating ride to see what God does with an individual who will give himself unstintingly to God's call. Be faithful. Be fearless. And see what God can do. You'll be amazed. Heavenly Father, a few thoughts, not well put, but I pray that they will have expressed thoughts that would be meaningful to us. Maybe inspire a little bit more study and thought so that you can work in lives and hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll take these simple ideas and use them. Thank you again for this church, for its fine leadership, and for its ability to do what you would have it to do. We thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.